to all his duties towards the Iranian people and the Islamic nation as a whole. Those same values are today being attacked by Western liberalism and Western imperialism in an attempt to try to culturally and militarily maybe invade our region and specifically the Islamic Republic of Iran. How has the school of Qasim Soleimani helped stop this invasion, and what can it do to continue to do so?
Good evening to you. On this exceptional anniversary and occasion, the anniversary of the martyrdom of Haj Qasim Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, we condole our people and bless them at the same time. We condole our Arabic and Islamic peoples and the oppressed people of this world for losing such quality of leaders. We also bless them and congratulate them because we perceive such a martyrdom in the face of an arrogant enemy such as the American regime as a sign of pride and dignity for the person who attains it. And at the same time, it is a great and positive push for the nation and for this person's school of thought. As you mentioned, it is clear that Haj Qasim Soleimani as a person abbreviated an entire school of thought. Perhaps a few martyrs throughout history are known for their martyrdom being an abbreviation and expression of a school of thought. The model of Qasim Soleimani was in fact a symbol for a school of thought. If we contemplate the nature of the past, current and future conflict and contemplate the school of Haj Qasim Soleimani, which, according to our understanding, comes from a source which is the Muhammad Alawi understanding of life, of man, of values and of the nature of conflict. Anyone who reflects well on this school sees that the origin of it is jihad. Not the military one, but the origin of this school, or the set of origins of this school, from which one of these basic and central origins emerges, is the origin of jihad. But what is meant by jihad here is not direct military jihad. The word jihad is broader and includes all fields and all aspects. Military jihad must be associated with the jihad of statement, clarification and domination, because military action, according to the Soleimani school, or the credibility of military jihad here, is the last phase that the oppressed can resort to in the face of the arrogant, in order to form awareness and restore the values, culture, vision and the intellectual system in which one believes. Haj Qasim believed that the West, led by the American regime, did not want to overthrow its opponents or enemies militarily. In fact, and as confirmed by writings, theories, practice and experience that we all touched, at least, in the first stage of the rise of the American hegemony in World War I. We see that it was always used in military action by the United States of America as a prelude in order to subjugate the opponent and destabilize its values, then later converting its values to the Western system. Like it or not, the military conflict remains an interim conflict, and it is not an extended or continuous conflict. In other words, it is possible for a country to launch a military war, but the result will not be a military one, but rather psychological, cultural, or intellectual. Therefore, the Americans have always, since the First World War and the Second, to all their practices in our region through their direct military presence or through their tools, especially the Zionist entity, they were trying to adapt or change the values, culture, intellectual and emotional system of this region from the window of military action. Therefore, the jihad movement for Haj Qasim Soleimani was a comprehensive title in order to establish values, in order to restore identity, and then in order to display and demonstrate values to the whole world on the basis of equality. من أجل استعادة الهوية ثم أيضا من أجل عرض وتبيان القيم على العالم كله انطلاقا من الندية.
Professor Bilal, is this why his honesty, his sincerity, the essence of Haj Qasim Soleimani, his school and his blessed life and martyrdom, is this why he was killed? What was it that made his enemies fear him to a point of assassinating him?
نعم.
You notice, for example, that when we compare or disparage today between the experience or the school that Qasim Soleimani established and which successfully confronted the Americans, as Newsweek reported on its homepage, it says that Soleimani confronted the Americans and at the same time overthrew ISIS. Therefore, we are facing a model that rejects two extremes or confronts two extremes: the extremism of American hegemony and arrogance, the extremism of ignorance and negligence in approaching issues and causes. It is as if Haj Qasim in his school says no to domination and arrogance, and also no to petrification and the rigid mind, especially if it comes with a religious title. Therefore, the school of Haj Qasim Soleimani has its advantage, in the sense that the military dimension in it is the necessary choice somewhere. But it is not the choice that is placed before humanity, because the origin is how we present our human values. The original understanding of the conflict begins with the understanding that the Americans want to strike at the values and intellectual system of its opponents and exploit the military arena, just as later he exploits the economic arena, and in the coming period he can exploit the cultural arena. Haj Qasim's school of thought adapts and moves with time and place. So yes, in one of the moments that we went through, it was the first and central necessity to preserve values, identity, and the meanings of dignity and true freedom. Not that of the liberalism style that today is still looking for the meaning of freedom. To preserve all of this, we need to repel the attack, which is apparently military. If the military illusion does not fall within the Western mind, then many of our societies and nations will be crushed, and cultural and intellectual change will begin, as happened in the 60s and 70s at the level of our nation. Therefore, the system and perspective are broad and comprehensive, and at one point in time, the main challenge was to restore identity, as well as to confront the opponent and to clarify the intellectual system. The gateway to that was from the military entrance. Therefore, we cannot talk about Qasim Soleimani, the military man, before we talk about Qasim Soleimani, the human. Qasim Soleimani, who emulates every heart, every mind, and every human experience.
قاسم سليماني الذي يحاكي كل قلب وكل عقل وكل تجربة بشرية.
Laqis, this is what I want to dive on with you in the second segment of our show. Please stay tuned, because next we will be talking about قاسم سليماني the human and how his martyrdom is even more influential than his work as a lieutenant general.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marvo Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
The high level of honesty and sincerity that martyr Haj Qasim Soleimani enjoyed turned him into a model for the aspiring youth in the Islamic world who yearn for the presence of heroes like him. The region of West Asia has witnessed major shifts in favor of the axis of resistance following the martyrdom of Haj Qasim, which is a blessing that came along as a result of Shahid Soleimani's pure blood that was shed 3 years ago. Everyone will leave this world in some way. However, Martyr Soleimani's departure from this world completed the argument against the enemies and all those who witnessed it, making his legacy as a martyr far more dangerous in the enemy's eyes than his role as Lieutenant General and Commander of the Al-Quds Brigades. More in this following report.
Talking about the personality of martyr commander Qasim Soleimani needs armies of writers specialized in thought, politics, and military. Martyr Lieutenant General Qasim Soleimani was more dangerous in his influence than the living Al-Quds Force commander Qasim Soleimani. This is because his martyrdom combined the military, jihadist, diplomatic, moral, and humanitarian dimensions. We find that Qasim Soleimani, who wears a combat jacket and war helmet, is the same person who delivers medicine, medical materials, and equipment to his economically besieged country. And he is the same person who weeps in front of orphans and walks barefoot in the Ashura rallies every year. Humility and renunciation from this world and its fake fame and glorification were his qualities that immortalized his jihadist and mystical career at the same time. Commander Soleimani is the one who asks in front of his soldiers if he is an example of a righteous man and if they will testify to him upon his death that he is an honest person. Then he instructs his wife that only the word soldier be written on his grave. His pure love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led him to martyrdom. This love that differs from worldly belongings of money, children, and prestige. This divine love that brought tears to his eyes whenever he spoke about it, wishing for martyrdom and joining his comrades on the path of jihad. Martyr Sulaimani was soft-hearted and merciful even to the enemies, resorting to dialogue and conversation with them before resorting to military confrontation. This moral and emotional personality is the credibility of the holy verse, "Believers are tough on infidels, but merciful among themselves." Today, Commander Sulaimani is an international hero who defended honor. Women and children consider him their father, and the Mujahideen take him as an example to follow, embodying titles of heroism, courage, and enthusiasm. Today, he is the leader of hearts, and the Sulaimani School is the role model that the resistance youth need in the path of jihad. It is the school of soft power and struggle to attain faith. The martyrdom of Commander Sulaimani and leader Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their companions was not the end of the resistance march, but rather it was a decisive historical juncture separating two phases, which are not alike in events at all. And the witness to that is what is happening today in the country of arrogance in terms of confusion and scandals. Those whom Martyr Sulaimani humiliated in the region of West Asia and thwarted their plans of segregation yesterday were celebrating the death of our martyr, claiming that the world will be safer today. But the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above theirs. And here is history revealing to us how the black magic began to turn against the Western imperial magician. Today, on the third anniversary of the hero's martyrdom, the oppressed in this land renew their covenant with the martyr and chant, "We are all Sulaimani."
Now, we are still right here in Beirut with Dr. Bilal Laqis, academic researcher and political commentator. Thank you for still being with us, Dr. Bilal. We need to talk about how writers specialized in thought, in politics, in military, and even in philosophy, they all claim that martyr Lieutenant General Qasim Sulaimani was more dangerous in his influence than the living Al-Quds Force commander, Qasim Sulaimani. In what ways do you think that is true?
Yes, of course. As we were just talking a little while ago, Qasim Sulaimani's school of thought is a jihadi school in the comprehensive sense. Therefore, his school was one that gives, along with the military success, the programming of resistance. Soleimani's school, along with the military victory, gives a culture of liberation and freedom. Therefore, with his martyrdom on the one hand and his work before his martyrdom as well, he was generating a value syndrome along with the military action. His work was not done in the same way that many military experiences are conducted. In reality, his work consisted of building humans. The Sulaimani school established with every military victory an intellectual system and the cultural and intellectual school. He did not possess weapons, although he participated in giving weapons for resistance movements. Rather, he gave a mental software and a mind, so that this mind and thought can generate the will, produce weapons to carry out the resistance action. When we say Sulaimani's school of thought, what is meant is that it is a school that educates. A school is not a monolithic act. Schooling is not done in a single dimension. The school is an integrated system that produces a personality whose title and centrality of its work and focus is how to create true liberation and restore all the value system, through which we can reserve status as individuals and as a group. Therefore, I meant by saying that when the enemy thought of assassinating Haj Qasim, I think their analysis was very crusty, superficial, and perhaps even emotional at a certain level. Because the enemy thought that Qasim Soleimani was a brigadier general or a general, like one of the generals of the U.S. Army. Therefore, in practice, they thought of him as a military person who was obsessed with military creativity. The Americans were not aware that Qasim Soleimani is a human being par excellence. And when a person is a human, he becomes an inspiration. This is a focal point to understand. For example, if we say that someone has killed the American president, America will move for political reasons to revenge the killing of its president. But no one will move to defend an American president as an inspiration, role model, or school of thought. America will move from the standpoint of American national security. But when they assassinated Haj Qasem Soleimani, they did not realize that Qasem Soleimani was not just a military hand. He was an example of an inspiring leader. Therefore, his martyrdom was tantamount to igniting all hearts and minds, because somewhere they targeted the aspiration or the model of an entire movement. They targeted something that every individual and every group wanted. Everyone aspires to liberation. Therefore, we saw after the martyrdom of Haj Qasem Soleimani, the wave at the regional level moved in its approach from just bordering the U.S. occupation and hegemony to full confrontation with the Americans. And also at the level of the interior and the internal environment, those who did not know this human leader and did not know what his school produced, somewhere they started to get to know more and more about this school. And they started to be inspired by this school and by this leader. Qasem Soleimani has become a symbol in every home, every child's room, a picture on every teenager's locker, and in every parenting and education center. Whether at the partisan level or the movement level, he became the model and the hero. After his assassination, a new path was opened for the youth to make Haj Qasem Soleimani their aspiration and role model. This is a major shift that might not have happened had it not been for this assassination.
Definitely, which is why on the third anniversary of his martyrdom, we see that the Soleimani School is the role model for the resistance youth for their need in the path of jihad. Now, it is the school of both soft power and the struggle to attain faith. Is it truly that hard to struggle to attain faith to continue the oath of Sardar Soleimani?
No, I don't think it's difficult, because we are simply talking about the comprehensive personality that succeeded and achieved great success stories in the military field, and then built all the elements of strength. Therefore, when we talk about this school's ability to confront the West in its military strength and succeed in that, we cannot say that this success was purely military. Rather, it was based on a system that enabled Qasem Soleimani to bring about this victory or this success. Therefore, with the same determination, will, mentality, and comprehensive ground for the approach, we can enter into all areas of conflict and make a qualitative difference and achieve success stories. This is what we can say today on the third anniversary of the assassination of Haj Qasem Soleimani. I do not like to divide power into soft power, rough power, and hard power. I do not suppose that this division is correct, because no element of power can be separated. It is all one interacting reality. This one interacting reality has a property. It has taste and flavor. It has a special meaning in our authentic Muhammad Alawi Islamic understanding. This meaning of power and how to turn it into an ability embodied par excellence with the model of Haj Qasem Soleimani, and thus succeeded and was able to bring about the greatest achievement in one of the many fields, which is the military field. And with the same understanding and background, the same comprehensiveness of the approach, and the same understanding of power and how to transform it into ability, it is possible when we enter into other fields, such as the economic field or the novel and narrative field in the next stage, we can also achieve success. Because we do not look with the school and thought of Haj Qasem Soleimani on the issue of jihad as fragmented issues or as isolated issues. But rather, we look at Haj Qasem Soleimani as a school in which the various headings unite. The origin and ground of this school have cultural and intellectual values. Therefore, we stand with the victory brought about by Haj Qasem Soleimani and with the spirit and wave that he founded after his martyrdom. I think we can enter all the remaining fields and achieve great victories and success stories in them. This is what we are seeing today. Haj Qasem Soleimani built planning as an asset in achieving success and achievement. In 1898, the Jewish Zionists met one day to set up the establishment of the Zionist entity. And after 40 or 50 years in 1948, they succeeded, with international sponsorship and international embrace, in establishing the Zionist entity. But regarding the school of Qasem Soleimani, which was a school of Imam Khomeini, we notice from the first moment of Imam Khomeini's revolution until today, after 44 years, we stand and ask, what has become of Israel? So this mind and this school were able to establish during 44 years of planning and thinking, And this is something new because it reflects a system of values and is not a random military action or a military action as per the ISIS approach. Planning got us to this day. After 44 years, we find that Israel suffers not only at the level of region, but at the level of its heart, that is, in the lands of Palestine 48 and 67. So Qasem Soleimani's school taught us software resistance, taught us how to think, taught us will, determination, planning, understanding arenas, and understanding weaknesses. The field of defiance remains with its weapons, which we can prepare for the fight according to the nature of the field.
Dr. Bilal Lakris, academic researcher and political commentator, it's been an honor, it's been a joy, and it's been definitely one of the most educative episodes about Qasem Soleimani that we have done so far. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your contribution to this very special show. And to you, ladies and gents, we tell you, we are all Qasem Soleimani. On the third anniversary of Hajj Qasem Soleimani and his brother and companion Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their friends who were killed in broad daylight, despite the fact that it was nighttime, but it was in the broad daylight of media, seeing it, watching it, even taking photos of it as it happens. You have not killed Soleimani. You have brought Soleimani into our own insights, our own mental system, our own programming as humans with values. This is why Soleimani will stay with us and will further become the hero of the generations to come. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
The school of thought of Iranian anti-terror commander and hero, Martyr Qasem Soleimani, is intertwined with resistance, which is the main front in the face of the global arrogance and hegemonic powers. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Mehr News Agency wrote in this regard, the theory of regional security is one of the most important viewpoints of Martyr Soleimani, who developed the theory due to his understanding of Western politics and with the purpose of preventing their plot from being fulfilled. On the basis of this theory, the security of West Asian Islamic countries influences and is connected to one another. In other words, insecurity in Syria would undermine Iraq's security, and insecurity in Iraq would jeopardize Iranian security. In order to ensure West Asian security and counteract Western plots, Sardar Soleimani developed the resistance model and molded the fight against extremism and terrorism on the basis of developing the resistance strategy. In fact, Qasem Soleimani preempted the Westerners' plans. They were trying to create discord in the anti-Zionist camp, but Martyr Soleimani united those countries under the axis of resistance. Hajj Qasem's miracle was that he placed seven nationalities, the Syrians, the Lebanese, the Iranians, the Pakistanis, the Afghans and Iraqis under the umbrella of resistance. He shaped the axis of resistance by benefiting from the native identity and culture of every country, not by imposing the Iranian culture and version on them. Hezbollah with the Lebanese identity, Hashd al-Sha'bi with the Iraqi identity, the Zainabiyun, Fatemiyun, Haydariyun forces with their own respective national and local identities were created, and then they achieved growth. With his regional security theory, Martyr Soleimani made every country sensitive about ensuring their own national security and that of their neighboring countries. The axis of resistance foiled the Western plot to change the regional geography and to ensure the Zionist regime's security. As an outstanding figure of resistance and as a symbol of fighting against terrorism, he stayed by the side of Sunni Palestinians in the 51-day war, and in the 33-day war, he defeated the Zionist regime along the Shia forces of Hezbollah. While Syria was in the depth of a crisis, he personally rushed to help Bashar al-Assad, and while Baghdad was on the brink of downfall, he passed through the Daesh forces and arrived in Baghdad and led the anti-terrorist operation until he achieved the desired results. With the help of altruistic and self-sacrificing forces of resistance, General Soleimani defended the national authority and territorial integrity of regional countries and rekindled hope in the hearts of regional nations by tightening his grip on the Zionist regime and its Western and Arab supporters. During the imposed Iraqi war on Iran, which was launched in 1980 and lasted for 8 years, Soleimani gradually became known as an adept commander, leading Iranian troops in numerous battles against invading Ba'ath regime forces. Later, appointed as the chief of the IRGC's expeditionary corps force, Soleimani gradually became a forefront figure in Iran's push to assist regional states and allies counter foreign-backed interventions in the region. As foreign-backed Takfiri outfits feared their heads in recent years, the IRGC commander emerged as a key strategist and ingenious commander, leading Iranian military advisors, assisting Syrian and Iraqi troops in battles against terrorists. The general was frequently pictured on the front lines during anti-terrorism operations from Iraq's Mosul to Syria's Aleppo. In Iraq, at the height of Daesh terror campaign, he assisted the Baghdad government in operations to retake the strategic oil-rich city of Tikrit from Daesh in 2015. In January 2015, the head of Iraq's Badr organization credited Tehran and Soleimani with saving Baghdad when Daesh first unleashed its campaign of terror in the neighboring country a year earlier. The general also took personal command of the battle against Takfiri terrorists in the Syrian city of Bu Kamal, located in Deir ez-Zor province, in November 2017. On January 3, 2020, General Soleimani was assassinated near Baghdad airport alongside al-Mohandes, deputy leader of the Popular Mobilization Forces, otherwise known as Hashd al-Sha'bi. A top Iranian general was visiting Iraq at the invitation of Iraq's leader to deliver an Iranian reply to a Saudi message through Iraq. He left Tehran for Baghdad on January 3, 2020, and arrived at midnight at Baghdad airport, where al-Mohandes was waiting to receive him. After a short exchange of greetings, the two men left the airport, but as they moved out of the airport in their motorcade, they were targeted with a number of missiles launched by an American drone. Former U.S. President Donald Trump had ordered the attack, which faced opposing reactions inside the United States as well. In July 2020, a UN expert said the U.S. attack that killed the top Iranian general violated the international law. According to Press TV, even today, many find it astonishing that the Gaza underground tunnels, which are approximately 360 kilometers long, were one of the strategies devised by Martyr Soleimani and Martyr Emad Mughniyeh. Ultimately, leading the axis of resistance against Daesh terrorist group was Martyr Soleimani's main action against the schemes of Arrogant Front. Martyr Soleimani and his companions uprooted this evil force and restored security and peace to regional nations. Martyr Soleimani's role in eliminating Daesh was so significant and pivotal that even American media outlets such as Newsweek, Business Insider, The Week, and others acknowledged it over the years. Also, whether American officials try to give themselves the credit for the elimination of Daesh whenever and wherever they faced rebuttals from international experts on the issue, pointing to the efforts of Martyr Soleimani. Professor Arshin Adib Mughaddam of the University of London, for example, in response to Trump's attempts to give himself credit for destroying Daesh, asserted that it was Iran, along with Russian air power, that dealt the decisive blows to the terrorist group, and Qasem Soleimani was the mastermind. In today's West Asia, the decline of the U.S. regime is palpable and openly spoken about based on the reality on the ground. This change and growth in regional countries and the people's outlook is the result of the resistant front's struggles against global colonialism and arrogance. And without a doubt, Martyr Soleimani was and will remain among the most prominent figures of the resistance movement.
Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
After the disintegration of the Soviet Union, Western countries under the leadership of the U.S. placed the re-engineering of West Asia at the top of their agenda in order to ensure the safety of the Zionist regime and protect their ulterior motives. One aspect of this project was to reshape geographical borders by disintegrating Islamic countries. Accordingly, the multifaceted project to create terrorist and Takfiri groups such as Al-Qaeda and Daesh was carried out with the assistance of Saudi Arabia and the Zionist regime, just to name a few of cohorts. As part of this plan, the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. But by 2007, the Bush administration concluded that their approach was failing and decided to deploy an additional 30,000 troops to Iraq. During the troop surge operation, General David Petraeus, who commanded U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, received a letter saying, "General Petraeus, you should know and consider the fact that I, Qasem Soleimani, control the policy for Iran when it comes to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, and Afghanistan." The role General Qasem Soleimani played in those countries and beyond before his assassination by Trump orders was to bring honor, pride, dignity, sovereignty, and freedom back to the people. In Iraq and Syria, he spearheaded the fight against the most brutal, lethal, and sophisticated of terrorist groups to date, Daesh and Nusra Front, among others. Takfiri groups that people in Iraq and Syria accuse America of creating, arming, and supporting, and some kingdoms in the Persian Gulf of funding with billions of dollars. To take a closer look at the third anniversary of U.S. assassination of General Qasem Soleimani, the legend, please join us on this edition of Iran Today. In response to regional threats, General Soleimani developed the regional security theory due to his unique understanding of the Western politics and with the purpose of preventing their plot from being fulfilled. On the basis of this theory, it is understood that the security of West Asian Islamic countries is interconnected and influences one another. In other words, any threat to Syria would undermine Iraq's security, and insecurity in Iraq would jeopardize Iranian security, etc.
What distinguishes General Soleimani from others is that he had the power to bring about such a change and revolution in one person that he or she shows a completely new personality. He has the ability of creating new individuals. He has the power of organizing a system. General Soleimani enjoys all the behavioral characteristics of a top leader. The difference between a leader and a manager is that a manager may only focus on the area of his or her responsibilities, while a leader is never limited to one area. General Soleimani could see far horizons of the region. He had the foresight and the ability to see facts and realities that ordinary people may not be able to understand.
So to ensure the West Asian security and counteract Westerners' plots, General Soleimani developed the resistance model and molded the fight against extremism and terrorism on the basis of developing the resistance strategy. In fact, Haj Qasem preempted the Westerners' plans. They were trying to create discord among the Muslims, but General Soleimani united Muslim nations under the basis of resistance. Haj Qasem's miracle was that he placed seven nationalities: the Syrians, Lebanese, the Iranians, Pakistanis, Afghans, and Iraqis under the umbrella of resistance.
General Soleimani was the embodiment of kindness and courage. That is, he had everything. Usually when people have a good characteristic, they can only be successful in that direction. But in the case of Haj Qasem, it should be noted that he had all the good characteristics that are usually seen in a religious person. I had many meetings with him, and I remember that in my first visit, I expected to see a rough political, military figure. Well, he was a soldier. You can't expect otherwise. But I was wrong. The gentleness of his soul attracted me, and I was really fascinated by him.
He shaped this resistance bloc by preserving the native identity and culture of every nation and by not imposing Iranian culture on them. Hezbollah was created with the Lebanese identity, Hashd al-Shaabi with the Iraqi personality, and the Zainabiyun, Fatimiyun, and Haydariyun forces with their own respective national and local characters. And then all of them took advantage of the resulting synergy. For this reason, today, no factor can eliminate these forces, and their power of influence will grow constantly and sustainably.
All the countries of the world are formed and established on the basis of the Western nation-state model. Unlike other countries, the Islamic Republic of Iran was formed on two foundations due to its Islamic nature. One is the same nation-state, and the other is the Ummah state. When it comes to Ummah, borders are disregarded, and nations of several states come under the umbrella of one Ummah, that is the Islamic Ummah. The most important organization that was formed based on this idea is the Quds Army. The Quds Force has no mission inside Iran, but its mission is outside the borders to help the Islamic Ummah. That is why we see the presence of the Quds forces in Lebanon in resistance against the occupation of the Zionist regime. We see it helping Bosnia Muslims against the Srebrenica massacre. We see it helping Syria against Takfiri groups. Now, General Soleimani was the head of this Quds force. In my opinion, he was very successful in carrying out this mission. in defining it and identifying the scope of this mission.
Haj Qasem's goal was to defend Sunni, Shia, Palestinian, Lebanese, Yemeni, Yazidi, Christian, and all the regional people in the Abrahamic religions. So his vision was how to liberate the region and remove the enemy from West Asia. Indeed, he wasn't just an individual, but a doctrine. And this doctrine cannot be destroyed by terror or missiles. The doctrine stays, the doctrine goes on. And Iranians, along with the other folks in the region, will open a new chapter, with many eager to continue Commander Soleimani's legacy.
You see our military and defensive strength today. America is worried about Iran's military growth. Global arrogance, with all its arsenals and weapons and its military advances, still expresses concern. This was while we didn't even have barbed wire at the beginning of the Iraq-Iran war, and no country in the world helped us. Today, we send satellites into the space. We send living creatures into the space. With regard to the growth of science to this day, we have made unprecedented progress. It is not fair to ignore all these positive aspects of Iran. In any case, today we have economic problems. It cannot be denied, but you should also see the progress.
The U.S. assassination of General Qasem Soleimani was a major, dangerous, and unexpected escalation in antagonism between Washington and Tehran. Haj Qasem was perceived by many to be untouchable due to his prominence in Iran and beyond. No one is certain what the short or long-term consequences of his martyrdom will be, except that it will stimulate a soul-deep desire among his many followers to avenge his death.
General Soleimani was one of the greatest legends in terms of establishing security in the region. He was the one who defeated Daesh in Syria and Takfir terrorist movements in Iraq. The same holds true about in Lebanon. If it wasn't for General Soleimani, I think the region would have been insecure for several decades. The West announced that it created Daesh by its own hands, and it reassured that destroying Daesh would take at least 3 to 4 decades. But the presence and efforts of General Soleimani changed everything, as this plague was wiped off the face of the earth much sooner. Today, you can only see a few traces of this terrorist group in the region.
Haj Qasem was assassinated by a U.S. airstrike ordered by former U.S. President Donald Trump at Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. Soleimani and Iraqi military officials were leaving Baghdad Airport in two cars when they were hit by a U.S. drone strike near a cargo area. The commander had flown in from Syria on an official trip. Several missiles struck the convoy and at least 7 people died in the incident. Iraqi militia leader Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis was among those killed. Iran's foreign minister at the time, Javad Zarif, called the attack an act of international terrorism, tweeting that the U.S. bears responsibility for all consequences of its rogue adventurism. On January 8, 2020, in a military operation codenamed Operation Martyr Soleimani, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps launched over 12 ballistic missiles at the Ain al-Assad airbase in western Iraq, as well as another airbase in Erbil, in response to the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani by a United States drone strike 5 days earlier. The strike was the largest ballistic missile attack ever against American forces. Initially, the U.S. was not willing to concede the seriousness of the attack. While some U.S. officials assessed that none of its service members were injured or killed, the U.S. Department of Defense ultimately said that 110 service members had been diagnosed and treated for traumatic brain injuries from the attack.
A few months before the martyrdom of General Soleimani, we read in several articles that he was considered one of the world's top military security theorists. Indeed, in the 33-day war in Lebanon, his presence made the occupying regime of Israel to feel and experience the bitter taste of defeat for the first time. Also, in the Gaza 22-day war, the world was witness to the key role of Qasem Soleimani. Later, we saw that the number of days that Israel dared to attack decreased to 11 days and then to a week and even less. You don't have to be a military analyst to understand that there is not balance of power between Hezbollah and Israel, but despite the fact that the Zionist regime of Israel was armed to the teeth, but General Soleimani's military genius and experience changed the outcome of the wars. He managed to overcome the enemy despite all the support it received from the U.S. government.
General Soleimani's assassinations plots the prompt and effective action of the armed forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran reportedly upset the geopolitical equations to the point that it brought about the definite failure of U.S. regional strategy. The U.S. fleeing from Afghanistan, the beginning of the process of withdrawal from Iraq, and the change in the strategy of the U.S. military presence in the geostrategic region of Persian Gulf is indicative of such impacts and consequences. Undoubtedly, the criminal act of the United States in martyring General Soleimani is a clear manifestation of a terrorist attack that was orchestrated and carried out in an organized manner by the then U.S. government, for which the current Biden administration in the White House is also responsible.
First of all, General Soleimani had special characteristics. He helped both in creating the resistance movement and also cultivated an intimate relationship with its leaders. In terms of the aspects of the plan devised by him, they succeeded in creating a movement that brought a lot of credit for the Islamic Republic of Iran regarding its international relations and the sphere of its influence. His military genius, his personal relationships, and the type of organization he created in the region are perhaps the three greatest characteristics of Martyr Soleimani.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic has adopted a number of measures from the time of the assassination based on legal principles of combating the impunity of criminals to hold such individuals and entities accountable before the courts, and will continue on this path until the final result is achieved. To fight impunity means that international and national criminal law establishes that certain crimes are not subject to any statute of limitations, ensuring that the most severe crimes do not go unpunished.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here's how it looks on the page. People's Dispatch says lawsuit filed in Iraq against Trump aids for assassination of Qasem Soleimani and al-Muhandis. Soleimani and Muhandis were key figures in the fight against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. They were assassinated in a drone attack on January 3, 2020, ordered by former U.S. President Donald Trump. Almost 2 years after the assassination of Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad, at least 78 Iraqis filed a lawsuit in an Iraqi court on Sunday, November 27, against then-U.S. President Donald Trump and other officials of his administration. The plaintiffs demanded legal action against the accused, including Trump and his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, among others, in their petition filed at Baghdad's Federal Court of Appeal. The plaintiffs include the brother of Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, Muhammad Hassan Jafar al-Muhandis. Both Soleimani and Muhandis were celebrated in Iraq and Iran for playing key roles in fighting against the Islamic State ISIS and reversing its advances. Prior to its defeat, ISIS had taken control over a large part of Iraq and Syria. The assassinations invited a strong reaction from Iran and mass protests in both Iran and Iraq. Within a couple of days, the Iraqi parliament adopted a resolution asking the government to ensure that all foreign troops leave the country. In April this year, U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price admitted that the intensity and frequency of attacks on foreign troops in Iraq increased following the U.S. assassination of Soleimani and Muhandis. He noted that between 2018 and 2020, attacks on U.S. forces increased by 400%. The cradle reads, former Iraqi prime minister under U.S. protection faces arrest for Soleimani assassination. Iraqi lawmakers are considering arresting former Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kazemi for his alleged role in the assassination of Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and Qasem Soleimani by the U.S. in 2020. During an interview with Iraqi news outlet Shafaq News on 12 December, a senior official in the State of Law Coalition, Fazel al-Zarghawi, revealed lawmakers are mulling over the decision. He also claimed al-Kazemi is being sheltered inside the U.S. embassy. The available information confirms that al-Kazemi is in the capital, Baghdad, and has not left the country. He's inside the Green Zone and is sheltering in the American embassy, Zarghawi said on Monday. He then added, the next stage will witness the issuance of arrest warrants and investigations against al-Kazemi for his involvement in the theft of the century case and the assassination of Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and Qasem Soleimani. Sardar Soleimani was a strong threat of unity and adherence to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution, independence, and Iranian identity. He believed in the ideals of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Republic. Imam believed in a neither east nor west policy for the country. He considered the country's progress to be the result of independence from the foreign powers.
It is possible that a lot of our wealth and facilities have been spent for curbing the conspiracies against the country. If this money had been spent on the welfare and comfort of the nation, the situation would have been much better, undoubtedly. Just look at the costs imposed by some deviant and anti-Iran groups on the government of Iran. Well, I have been in Kurdistan and seen these groups are provoked and take actions against Iran, which literally waste the energy of the government. Don't forget the costs of the war imposed by Iraq also. If these had not happened, if the sanctions were not in place after all the negotiations, then we would have definitely seen progress in Iran. Of course, despite all the hardships, restrictions, and sanctions, the progress brought by the Islamic Republic is not seen in the history of this country. Of course, despite all the hardships and restrictions and sanctions, the progress brought by the Islamic Republic in Iran is not seen in the history of this country.
The revolution of Iran was completely a popular movement through which the Imam revived Islam in the country. It was founded on the Islamic values such as supporting the oppressed and treating the rich and the poor, the rural and the urban and others with the same eye.
Whether the ideals of the 1979 Islamic Revolution have been realized or not, in my opinion, this question is not easy to answer. These ideals consist of a wide range of demands, which can be summarized in a short, comprehensive phrase, and that is social justice. If we want to go more into details, ideals such as prosperity, freedom, independence, self-confidence, self-belief, and equality are the prominent ones which I can safely assume that have been realized. To sum it up, we need to be fair in our judgment on the performance of the Islamic government of Iran. We have gained the principle of social justice to a great extent. Although there is still a long way ahead of us, but the pivotal point here is that the government has long started treading on this path and it will accomplish this responsibility.
One of the main ideals of the Islamic Republic has always been to help the subjugated countries in the region and support the revolutionary cause in other parts of the world. Accordingly, the issue of Palestine and its importance in the Islamic world was first proposed by Imam Khomeini and then presented to the complex world of politics. General Qasem Soleimani, who understood its importance from the time he understood the Khomeini movement, never let it out of sight and accepted it as a defined ideology. He always stood by the side of Palestinians in various forms, including in ideology and solidarity, and also in providing them with equipment.
Contrary to what many people think, the Quds Force is not just a military organization. Its activities cover military, cultural, and political areas, and diplomatic relations are both part of its principles. General Soleimani was successful in many cases without firing a single shot. This goes back to the deterrent power it created and many other issues. So yes, he was a diplomat, a soldier, and a politician.
Haj Qasem Soleimani sought to elevate the Islamic revolution and considered Iran as a sanctuary. He regarded Iran to be like a holy shrine, that if it falls in harm's way, many other holy shrines will be harmed consequently. He was both a national hero and a hero to the Islamic Ummah and will remain that way. He has become a role model for free-thinking people until eternity.
I believe that Mr. Soleimani was the architect of resistance. Imam Khomeini was the architect of the Islamic Revolution, and Ayatollah Khamenei is the second architect of the revolution, but here Mr. Soleimani was the architect of the resistance movement. In other words, he created a mechanism that works for everyone, despite all differences they may have in religious and political areas. His followers come from various and sometimes contradictory religious and political backgrounds, but General Soleimani managed to organize and mobilize all of them for a common goal.
General Soleimani's funeral processions in the capital city of Tehran came days after hundreds of thousands of mourners accompanied the coffin carrying his remains in the cities of Qadhim, Najaf, Karbala in Iraq, and Ahvaz and Mashhad in Iran. The multi-city ceremony continued after Tehran, with Martyr Soleimani's remains going to the holy city of Qom before his burial ceremony was held in his hometown of Kerman.
God willing, the roots of the global arrogance that is the U.S. government will be removed from this region soon. The world was witness to the martyrdom of General Soleimani and the fact that the U.S. government cowardly assassinated him by a drone. It was very sad. The country, which pretends to be an advocate of the fight against terrorism, killed the man who was at the forefront of the fight against terrorism. In fact, one of the reasons that General Soleimani was on the right path and was a good person is that he was assassinated by the most evil and satanic government on earth. His funeral is another proof that documents disclaim. The unique and wide attendance of people at his funeral was unparalleled. We can only compare it to Imam Khomeini's funeral, the founder of the Islamic Revolution of 1979. General Soleimani's funeral, however, was not limited to Tehran or even Iran only. People of Iraq paid their respect to his body in their own country. His body was also transferred to several Iranian provinces, such as Khuzestan, Mashhad, and Kerman.
Various Iranian and international leaders joined the massive crowds in the funeral processions of the legendary commander, held in many other places across the world.
After the funeral of General Soleimani, one of Iraq's high-ranking officials told me that he was shocked and amazed to see the large presence of Iraqi people and their respect for an Iranian commander. The then president of Iraq, Mr. Barham Saleh, also admitted that he was really shocked and surprised by the funeral and the warm and glorious welcome of the Iraqi people to General Soleimani and Iran. This shows the support of the Iraqi nation for the Iranian government and people.
But in Tehran, in freezing early morning temperatures, women dressed in black walked alongside men holding up flags bearing the names of Shia imams as they walked down Revolution Street in capital towards the Tehran University. A several million strong turnout had poured onto the streets of the city to pay respects to Qasem Soleimani, the country's most powerful, beloved military commander. Iranians appeared saddened and very angry at the way he was killed. They felt that this was a very unjust act, the way it was carried out. Iran's local media reported that the streets of the capital were so full of mourners that many were unable to emerge from underground metro stations. Addressing the huge crowd, Haj Qasem's daughter, Zainab, said the U.S. and its ally, Israel, faced a dark day for her father's assassination. "Crazy Trump, don't you think that everything is over with my father's martyrdom?" she said, referring to the former U.S. president. The families of U.S. soldiers in the Middle East will spend their days waiting for the death of their children, she said to Cheers. Brigadier General Ismail Qaani, General Soleimani's successor, also reminded the crowd that the only compensation for us would be to remove America from the region. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.